Hello, and welcome to What Would Rob Do? A Guide to Life's Daily Indignities. I'm Rob Sachs, and I hope you're enjoying your 2010 Happy New Year, everybody. Today, part two of what happens when your golf ball goes the wrong way when you're playing on a course lined with houses. A few podcasts ago, my cousin Todd Sachs recounted a story when that unfortunate circumstance happened to him. In case you missed it, here's a little refresher on what happened.
I think I was about 12 at the time. I'm clearly not a good golfer, but trying to improve my game, so I was out having a round by myself. I'm at the tee. I hit a shot.
And then things got costly.
I tee it up. I hit it 30 yards straight, and then it turns a sharp left and goes about 100 yards to the left. Just a wicked golf shot, and then all of a sudden I hear this enormous crash.
Unlucky for Todd, and yet even more unfortunate for the homeowner who had just lost a sliding glass door. The whole affair brought up an interesting question, though. Was Todd's horrible shot just a fluke, or is this a real hazard for those who choose to live with a fairway view? I decided to call someone with a little bit of golf know-how. 62-time PGA Tour champion, accomplished course designer, and fabled lemonade and iced tea drinker, Arnold Palmer.
It is something that is an occasion, but rarely really happens, and to the point of causing any real serious problems.
Well, that's what Arnie might say, but Jack Guida, who lives by the ninth hole of the Emerald Isle Golf Course in Oceanside, California, has a different story.
I would say we get hit at least once a day.
Guida says he takes every precaution available to protect his house from errant projectiles.
I have metal guards on my window because I didn't want them broken. They're expensive to replace.
Not only that, but
I'm concerned about my grandson who plays. Sometimes he comes over and he wants to play in the backyard, and I often make him wear a bike helmet.
So clearly it's a hazard to live by a golf course, but should it be a financial burden as well? I asked Emerald Isle golf pro Jeff Sampson.
The golfer's ultimately responsible.
Aha!
If you can catch him.
Oh. While Jack Guida's exterior armament has been successful in keeping his own house safe, he once had to chase down some 18-year-old guy who smashed his neighbor's window.
He tried to ignore us. He just kept on going like he didn't know what happened.
This sounded eerily like how my cousin Todd described his story to me.
I wasn't owning up, but at the same level, I also didn't sprint away.
Well, there you go.
I called it a slow walk to sort of see what the consequences would be.
Now, in both cases, Todd and the 18-year-old kid paid up. Well, in Todd's case, his parents forked over the few $100 in repair costs. However, golf pro Sampson says many times it's the golf course residents who are stuck with the bill. And this is problematic since he only knows of just one homeowner community where the course residents themselves have signed off on being liable for damages. Regardless of the written policy of any particular course, Jack Guida says homeowners need to be realistic.
You don't want balls to hit your house. Don't live on a golf course. It's a hazard of living here, but it's worth it.
As for not hitting that horrible tee shot in the first place, I wonder, what would Arnold Palmer do?
The advice I would give them is go see their local pro so they can hit it straight.
And as always, if you have a story about a wayward golf shot or anything else that didn't quite go your way and want to share, please send your questions and comments over to the What Would Rob Do Facebook fan page, where I just posted a preview of the cover of the What Would Rob Do book. Yes, the book is coming out this May, so look out for it. Thanks again for listening to What Would Rob Do? A Guide to Life's Daily Indignities. I'm Rob Sachs.